Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's show Before Bedtime, bringing you today's best artists, authors, musicians, leaders, and visionaries of today and of tomorrow. Do we have Dave Shelton or Sage Ryan Campbell in the house? Alrighty, it appears that we're still waiting for them to call in. But as for right now, we'll chat for a little bit, so just make sure we ask. We do not have Dave Ryan or Sage Ryan Campbell in the house right now. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Barry Eva, author of Across the Pond, better known to some of you Blog Talk Radio show people as Storyheart. And I'm very, very excited to hear Barry's interview, his personal recollections as to a great, great career writing such a wonderful story Across the Pond, influenced many, many people. This is Brian Sandell, hosting Before Bedtime, and I will chat here for a little bit. Make sure we do not have, I have a caller in my chat room. Is this Dave Shelton or Sage Ryan Campbell? Okay. All righty. It appears I got a caller, but it's all good. No worries. We'll chat for a little bit, tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Brian Sandell. I am a college graduate as of yesterday, and I got a great chance to graduate from the lovely school of Grove City College. That is Before Bedtime, a new experience I'm doing. We're going to work really, really hard to advertise it, and we're going to probably have Dave and Barry come back here a little later on. So as for right now, this is Brian Sandell, and tell you a little about what I'm working on. I just finished writing the manuscript for a children's picture book tonight called Stanley the Squirrel Shares His Acorns, which is, I think, a very, very cute story. I'm very, very excited to have written it, and I think it will be a very, very neat story, teaching kids a great, wonderful lesson to that we need to share to really, really benefit our friends and our family, and that's a really good thing we need to do. So very, very excited to write it. I also have the arduous task of not only writing it, but I also have the arduous task of illustrating it. So I'm definitely looking for some fun doing that. Now, it appears we have Barry Eva in the house with us. Barry, are you here? I might have my volume messed up here. Let's see if we can get Barry here. But if not, we will definitely have Barry back with us because he's been more than wonderful to work with. And he is a really, really great guy and a very big inspiration to all the romance authors that he is with. So, Barry, can you hear me? This is Brian Sandell, hoping
going to unblock me.
Oh, there we go. Barry, sorry
right.
about that.
You forgot to unblock me, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, man, we might have had Sage. Oh, no, we might have had our people call in, but I didn't block them. Oh, man. Oh, no.
It's your first show, and there's a lot to learn, I know, because I've been doing shows now for a couple of months, and I still make mistakes all the time.
Oh, man. Oh, well. We'll talk, because they did call in, but no worries whatsoever. Barry, pleasure to have you here.
No problem. You were doing good. I enjoyed the reading you did as well. Sounds interesting, your book.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have written. It's definitely my first book. I started writing it when I was 19, so it is. Nothing's going to make me rich as of right now. If I get a chance to republish it, it'll hopefully be picked up by a bigger publisher. But as for right now, one of those books I add to my publishing credits and really, really enjoy. So, I might have to email Dave and Sage and apologize to them immensely. But we'll cross that bridge tomorrow.
And it's interesting what you said. You know, too many authors, when they bring a book out, they expect themselves to be the ones that make the fortune. And it doesn't happen. And you should be, like you said, you know, it's a step along the way. And that's what a lot of authors should be. You know, you should be, you know, proud of what you produce and use it as a step along the way.
Yeah, it's I'm very, very excited for both the books I've written, The Wager and The Christmas Rose, which we'll get a chance to talk a little more about when we hit up your show here in a couple weeks, which is very, very exciting. We're going to work super, super hard to market and advertise for our show right now. And we're definitely have you back here in a couple months. And hopefully have maybe written something else. Definitely maybe have gotten some more readers for Across the Pond, which sounds like a wonderful, wonderful book. And I'm absolutely excited to read it. Probably the thing I'm most excited about is Across the Pond is only like, what is it, 117 pages?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I always used to write short romance stories. You know, like 5-10 minute readings. I did about 4 or 5 years ago, put 45, 50 of them in a book, and it's a book that some people used to call a bathroom book, because that might be the only place where you get 5 minutes peace and quiet to read a story.
Mm-hmm.
But the book was, you know, it was a learning curve for me. It was very badly edited. It came out full of mistakes and stuff like that. And after I carried on writing these short stories, and I thought, I want to write something a bit longer.
Okay.
So I wanted to sort of write something for sort of a younger age group. And I joined the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and I went to meetings, and I thought, well, write about what you know. And in case you didn't realize, it's an English accent. I myself moved over from England in 2000. So I know all about the trials and tribulations of moving across the pond, as it's called, from England to America. And so I started writing the book, and I used to go to meetings and, read a chapter, and people used to sort of help me with the editing and, you know, and say the good things and bad things and things like that. And it did start off like at a sort of 12, 13-year-old age, but as the sort of bit of romance came in, it sort of went up to 14, 15-year-olds.
Oh.
And, it developed from there.
That is incredible. A very, very inspirational story. And I definitely can, I don't know if I can empathize, but I can definitely sympathize with how hard such a big move would be for you from coming from England to here to the United States. Now, is your heart still over in England? Would you say that to compare, like, different things, saying, wow, this is not as good as I used to do it in England?
Yes and no. The reason I moved across to America was because I met my wife on the internet.
Oh.
And I moved over to be with her, and we're now married, and we've got 2 little children of our own. But yes, there's not a day goes by I don't miss England. I'll always be English. That's the way it is. I always find myself comparing and things like that. But, you know, I've got a family here, so here I'll stay.
That is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. One of the questions I've been doing a couple of blog interviews recently to advertise the Wager and the Christmas Rose, and I've been hearing the typical questions: where do you get your inspiration from? Where do you usually like to write? Are the characters based off anybody in your life? So I've been looking at a lot of typical questions the same. So which is good. I figure if I have a good answer for the question once, might as well keep using it. One of the questions though, I got in a blog interview, and it just blew me away. I'd never heard this before. And with all the ones I've done about 3 or 4 and had mostly similar questions. But question is, if Across the Pond were to be made into a movie, who would be starring in the main roles in Across the Pond?
Okay, well, very interesting question, because, you're looking at 14, 15-year-olds. And I think instead of the movie, I think it would be the next High School Musical film.
Really?
Because I could see it being into a musical, High School Musical, what are we, 5, 6, whatever we're up to, Across the Pond, based on somebody coming over from England to the school over, in America, and the relationships and stuff like that. So I could see, I'm sitting here waiting for the phone call from Disney all the time, but I think they must have lost my number along the way. But I can see that being, the next High School Musical. So it would be the sort of cast, Jonas Brothers, whatever, in that do that sort of stuff would be in the film. Now, I could perhaps play Fred's dad because there's so much of me in Fred. There's sort of instances and stuff like that. And what I find when I write, and I know I've interviewed a lot of authors and a lot of them agree the same, is that when you write, you become part of that character. You become that character. And in doing that, that makes the character more realistic. So in my hero, Fred Squire, there is a lot of me. There are, people who've read the book say, well, I can think you've done that. And all the way through the book, there's this thing about getting yourself in problems with the words and stuff like that. And that happens even now at work. I say something and everybody looks at me as though I've got three heads because it's an English phrase and they have no idea what I'm saying. One that comes to mind that I used before is about a meeting about a month ago. Somebody asked me if somebody had said something or other. And I said, no, they didn't say a dicky bird, which is a standard English saying. But, of course, in a meeting over in America, people went, dicky birds? What's he on about?
Oh, wow, that is a wonderful, wonderful word. I'm definitely going to use the term dicky bird in a conversation.
Yeah, didn't say a dicky bird, which means he didn't say anything at all.
Okay, good. I'm also glad I know what it means. So just in case I do happen to meet an English person who knows what the word means, I will
Really, I mean, there are... Every day there are sort of phrases and words. And in fact, I've started it on my blog. I've started doing a Sunday blog on UK stuff. And one of the things is, the sort of sayings that people use and the differences that there are. And you'd be surprised, just the words, just the differences. They go into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Mm-hmm. Differences. That is, Barry, that's awesome. And I'm really, really... glad to hear that. You've been doing a lot of great stuff.
Thank you.
Marketing across the pond. Now, Barry, one of the interesting things I've always wanted to ask you, I've following you loosely here for about the past couple months when I've been looking to start advertising on radio shows, blogs, and that type of deal. And one of the things that always really kind of caught my eye was your pseudonym Storyheart. You can give me a little... basic background as to how that came. I saw that. I was like, wow, that's like, the word unusual came to mind. I think it really grabs people's attention. So.
Okay. There is a story, like most of my life, there is a hidden story behind this. Mm-hmm. I met my wife on the internet. We were in chat rooms, and she used to chat under the name Tenderheart. As in the Care Bears, and as in, she was going through divorce issues and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I wrote stories. So she was Tenderheart. I became Storyheart. And that's what I started writing my short stories under. Well, I chatted in the chat room under that, and then I wrote the short stories, and I've kept the name ever since.
That is very, very interesting. I can honestly, that is probably one of the most creative pseudonyms I've ever heard. I mean, I think when Samuel Clemens wanted to be clever, I mean, he could have thought of something better than Mark Twain, but I definitely think Storyheart is very, very creative. I have to applaud you. So that was definitely well done.
Thank you.
One of the things been really, really focused on my own writing is not just entertaining people, but also giving somebody like a lesson to learn. Giving them a truth to hold, giving them an example of a poor decision to avoid. Now, I'm not definitely saying that there is room in today's literature and genres for just sheer entertainment, whether it be literature or poems or nonfiction, but just out of curiosity for everyone listening out here and for my own benefit, where does Across the Pond happen to fit? Is that a story that gives the reader a lesson they can take away with, saying, wow, I'm definitely going to take this to heart from what I learned from reading these 117 pages?
Interesting because I've been lucky enough to have lots of reviews. And the thing is, people pick up different parts of the story. There's a young romance part. There's a humor part. There's education with the languages issues all the way through. And some people have, in fact, picked up that, you know, there is a bit of a moral. There is a moral about, you know, for daughters not being afraid to tell their parents about things, you know, and for sticking up for things. There's also, you know, about right over wrong and things like that. So that a lot of people, well, you know, quite a few people have picked up on the moral side of it. But the good thing is that everybody's picking up on different things, you know, and people are, you know, are liking it for different reasons, which I think is great. And one of the things that really I am very, very pleased with is that I'm not one for sticking books into cubby holes, you know, into say, this is a young adult book or this is a teen book. It doesn't matter what the age of the person. If they enjoy reading it, then that's good as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've been lucky. I've had reviews from people from 10 to 80. And I've had so many people who have perhaps their son or daughter have picked the book up. And, you know, I've had letters from people saying, well, my son never normally reads. And he picked your book up and he didn't put it down till he finished. Now, it could be the sport bit that's in there, say the humour and everything like that. But the child doesn't normally read, but this time he picked it up and he didn't put it down till he finished. And this one lady said, well, you know, I thought I'd read, you know, I'd pick it up and see, you know, what was so interesting that he read. And she said, you know, I started reading it and lunch was forgotten, the housework was forgotten, everything was forgotten until she finished. And that's great because it means that all generations are enjoying it. And that to me is the most important thing. That people are enjoying it, and also that it doesn't matter what age, or whether it's a boy or a girl, or their parents or whatever. If they enjoy it, then that's, as far as I'm concerned, that, you know, that's good.
That's a wonderful, wonderful answer, and I can't think of a higher compliment for a writer to have than someone come and say, "Wow, I totally forgot about everything else in my life, and so I was done reading your book." So can't say anyone said that to me about The Wager or The Christmas Rose, but definitely have had some wonderful reviews and people reading it. It's been such a wonderful experience. I'm very
doesn't that make it all worthwhile? If somebody sends you, you know, a review, or somebody sends you an email or something telling you how much they like the book, that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it's and it's definitely, especially for some of us authors who don't have the names of John Grisham, Stephen King, people like that.
What was it? About one in, I don't know, 20,000 authors is going to make loads of money.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to make money, you know. But if I can make somebody smile, you know, if I can make somebody think, well, I really enjoyed that book, then that makes it all worthwhile.
That's definitely, I think, the reason why we as writers write. So definitely, very, very rewarding career. At times a frustrating career. It is definitely not the easiest thing to get into. But
yeah, and this is it. Some authors, unfortunately, they think that, you know, or they expect that just because they're out there, they're gonna be, you know, the next famous author, and they're gonna make all this money, and they don't realise that it's an ongoing thing. You have to, you know, you have to put in. You can't just sit back and take. You have to do your part. You have to get out there. You have to go to the do the blogs. You have to do the visits, virtual tour, whatever, you know. And you have to put into it. And if you don't put in, you're not going to get anything out. It's not going to come and, you know, unless you're one in a million, who somebody just picks up off the slush pile, you're not going to make anything from it unless you do some stuff yourself.
Oh, yeah, and that's definitely go back to the old principle that your grandmother always taught you. You reap what you sow, and that's
exactly, yeah.
And that's definitely something that it's tough to learn, especially in American society. I think that is one of the biggest criticisms I have. I mean, I love this country. We have so many great, great freedoms, but we have a society and a country that says, hey, I should reap everything, but I'm not going to bother sowing anything. That's something that
Yeah, I must admit, I it's one of the things I've found, you know, it seems that it's taken for granted that if you graduate, you get a car. Yeah, this sort of thing, you know. oh, well, I've graduated, so where's my car, sort of thing. You know, it's people don't realize. I mean, I was the eldest in my family. You know, it was a long while ago, obviously, when I was at school. But I was, being the eldest, I had to go out and work. I couldn't go on to college and stuff like that. I had to go out and try and get a trade or, behind me and help support the family. These days, it's taken for granted that you'll be looked after by the parents, sort of thing. But times change, I suppose.
Yeah, I can definitely say I graduated from college yesterday. And
yes,
of course,
congratulations. I heard that.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I'm going to hit seminary in the fall, and I can definitely tell you one of my graduation presents was not a car. Maybe potentially a used car if I save up enough money this summer and buy one for my trip next year to seminary up in Pittsburgh.
All right.
But I can definitely tell you that I will not be getting a brand new car.
But you understand what I mean, that there are people like that, though, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have people in the high school, in my college that say, hey, this is something my parents are giving me. They're giving me a brand new car. They're paying for college, giving me a new car. I'm thinking to myself, gee, where's the effort? Where's the work? And
yeah.
That's one thing I think that really try to hit home in writing is to show characters and show situations and show people who work for things they really, really want in life and just really, when they get it, enjoy the hard work, the good relationship, the great career life they always wanted. So I think that's something that's missing in our society today.
Yeah, I agree. Back to what I said, I think, a lot of people are brought up almost being spoon-fed everything. You know, it's almost just add water, instant life, in the early years.
Oh,
I
know.
You don't have to work. I mean, I started earning when I was about 11, singing in the church choir because we got half a crown in old English money for weddings and stuff like that. And then I got a paper round, and then I worked after school, and stuff like that. So it's how it is. But these days, I know times have changed, but and I know it's not everybody. I know a lot of people, a lot of kids do their work and stuff like that, but there are some that seem to take things for granted a bit more.
Oh, I would definitely agree. Barry, we're keeping talking here. Tell us, in your writing career, tell us, Across the Pond, it's been a wonderful, wonderful story, been great for a lot of people to read, relate to, laugh at, and have a really, really just wonderful time reading. Tell us a little bit about what else you've written, or are there any plans for anything in the future?
Well, as I said, I did write short romance stories, and they're up on one of my blogs. A lot of people enjoy them. I haven't done many for a couple of years. I always do one at Christmas. I always do a Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a lot of complaints about them because some of them are a bit weepies, And I used to send, people used to wait for the next story to come out, print it off, and I had a couple of people who wrote to me saying, you should have warned me, it was such a sad, story.
Oh.
I was on the subway with tears pouring out my eyes,
oh, wow.
Got to work, I mean, makeup was run. So what I did on the index now, I've put little box of tissues as a symbol next to the ones that are weepies, so people now know.
Gotcha, that is probably very, very helpful.
And I also like to, put twists in them as well, so people think they know what's going to happen at the end, and it ends different. And it is funny, there's a lady in the who runs the sort of restaurant at work, Sharon. She always wants to know the news stories when I bring it out, and I print a copy off and give her the story, and then I go and see her the next day, and she says, "You did it to me again. I thought I knew the ending, and you did it to me again."
Oh, wow.
So that was the one thing, and then I wrote Across the Pond, and a lot of people have picked up that there are two possible sort of spin-offs from it, and even a possible third spin-off, and the second story has started. I've written about two or three chapters of the second story, and it continues straight on from the first story. There's sort of some of the same characters, are going to turn up in the story, but it's actually called Across the Pond and Back Again. So it's more for the heroine, who's Brit, actually coming to England. And so you've got the, not so much the differences between England and America, but this time it's between America and England. So a little bit of the theme, perhaps a bit more of a nastier character than that there was in the first book. But it's on its way, shall I say. So perhaps by the end of the year, if I get time in between, the blogs and the podcasts and my normal work and everything else, I'll get it out by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is exciting, and that's I definitely want to be told by a potential email or blog talk radio chat message that when this book's coming out, because I'm very, very excited to add this to my library. So very, very excited. I noticed on your phone number that your number is, this is probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Your number is 111-111-1111.
That's because I have my own blog show. That's the blog show host number. So because Blog Talk Radio knows me as a host, that's what comes up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Understandable. That's really, really a neat thing, and I'm definitely.
When you dial in first off, you'll most likely see that's your number as well.
When I dial in to talk to your show. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'll definitely say no. I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. I was very, very excited.
No, it's not that cool, I'm afraid. I'm in Connecticut, and that's not around that sort of number.
Gotcha.
How's your book going? Are you doing a virtual tour or anything like that?
I haven't done anything officially. I've been on about 8 to 10 blogs, maybe a little more than that. I don't know exactly. Just to chat with different people, writing different questions, contact and making acquaintances, and getting people to buy the book through radio shows, blogs, advertising through Facebook and Twitter. It's been a really, really it's been a good experience. I think things are definitely on the rise here. I got a manuscript off with a literary agent right now.
And good.
Yeah, she's been really, really encouraging about it, thinking thing that's going to work out. Hasn't really given me a definite quite yet. I got to do a little bit of tweaking with the manuscript, but for the most part, they said they really enjoyed the story. It's a suspense thriller called The Reawakening. It's about twice as long as my book called The Wager. So it's one of those where I've really come full circle. So I started with just a short novella, and then really started to come full circle with The Wager and The Reawakening here. So, been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well,
it
sounds like you're doing you're going about it the right way. Unlike a lot of authors, don't realize that the way forward with books and with publicity and everything is the internet. Back in February, I did a month-long virtual book tour with a great company called Pump Up Your Book Promotion, who, compared to a lot of these other places, are actually really, really reasonable for that. And that was every day I was somewhere. I was in Australia, I was in Italy, I was in Canada, I was all over the States, I was in England, and I didn't even leave my bed because I was actually just recovering from a back surgery. But because it's a virtual book tour, you get the questions asked, and sometimes you'd have you do guest spots or you have radio spots, and you meet so many interesting people and you learn so much and your name gets out there, and I can't recommend it enough for people. I know a lot of these places, you see them, they sort of charge $1,000-$2,000 for sort of something like that. That's rubbish. That really is rubbish, because these places, for a couple of $100, you can get a month-long tour. You can be all over the place. I was in the Wall Street Journal, Chicago Sunday Times. There was a write-up about the stuff and everything. And as I say, I was in my sick bed, But it's great. And if you do that, I'm a great fan. Anybody who's listened to my radio program knows I'm a great fan of what I call the small bloggers. The people who've got blogs with 40, 50, 60 so followers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the young adult market that sort of my book is, these are the people who read the book. These are the people who read 6-7 books a week, and they blog about it and share it, and the people who read their blogs are the sort of people who would also want to go out and buy the book as well. I call them the ShamWow of young adult fiction, which I, somebody wrote the other day, and I picked it up. I think that's a great name for them, because they just soak it up, you know. Anything that comes along, they pick it up.
Uh-huh.
And if you go to one of these places, you can normally find other ones that they follow and work your way through like that. And that's the way to do it. Get your name out there. Contact these people. They're only too glad to have you as a guest on their, you know, on their blog and stuff like that. And that's the way forward, using the internet.
Oh yeah, that is a wonderful, wonderful advice here to myself and all our younger listeners out there. I just got an email from Dave Shelton, the guy who spoke to me on Before You, and it turns out that he did call in and he was muted the entire time. So,
oh, whoops.
he's definitely very, very appreciative, and he understood. So we're gonna hopefully be able to reschedule with him, because I think
you've got to really watch this thing, because I think it was like the second show I did. At the end of the show, the index sort of says, you know, not streaming anymore. But what you don't realise is it's still recording on the MP3 file, whatever it is you play. So I finished the show and I was chatting to the author afterwards. I think it was Elizabeth Walker. No, it wasn't. It was somebody else. And I was sort of chatting about 10 minutes about the hospital and my surgery and stuff like that, thinking that when it had said finish streaming, that was it. And then when I listened to the file, once I downloaded it, or I listened to the actual sound file, there it was at the end, 10 minutes of us talking about the, you know, the hospital and stuff like that. So you've got to remember, when you finish talking, you have to cut your phone off.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, so a good thing is to make a note. I mean, hints here, hints on running Blog Talk Radio. when the guest comes in, make a note of their phone. Explain to them that, you know, at the end of the show, you're going to have to turn your phone off to cut the show off. And then give them a call back, and you know, then talk to them, let them know how it went, etc.
Oh, gotcha. Well, okay. That's definitely all looking out for me. I appreciate it. It's probably,
that's no problem. No problem. I mean, you did good. You know, chatting by yourself for the first 20 minutes. That's good.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely quite a task. I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty tough. One of those things you think talking like in a conversation, you know, we're actually not that bad because you're talking about 50% of the time, but just sitting there talking by yourself for about 20 minutes is really, really, really grueling.
I do sympathize with you, because I think it's like the second show I had, an author at the last minute said they couldn't do it, so I had like 30 minutes of talking to myself, so I do empathize with you, and no, it's not exactly the easiest of things, but you did good.
Oh, thank you. I definitely appreciate it. Well, I'm very, very excited for our show, which we'll be doing here very, very shortly. Actually, I think I got a show. I think it's May 19th. I have to probably look. Oh man, I better check that before, because May 19th. Oh, that's Tuesday. Okay, tomorrow's only the 18th. So I think I got a show. I don't know if you've ever gone with Pamela Osby with Literary Pizzazz. I don't know if you've ever heard of.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Yes, yeah, so that would be a really, really wonderful show. Contacted her. She had I don't know if she was with Blog Talk Radio. I think she was with another online show. But I just contacted her, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience talking with her. She's been a really, really great lady. So I'll have to check that up. So definitely Pamela Osby, Literary Pizzazz Radio Show. If you're looking for another show to hit up, and she was really, really supportive and easy to work with. So
that's good.
So I'll definitely let you know how that goes. But basically, as we're getting ready to close out here, it's been a wonderful first interview for me. Minus the forgetting to buzz the guests in. We'll let that slide. But what advice would you give to young writers, people aspiring to get published and get read? What advice would you give to them?
Okay, well, you know, first of all, ask around. You know, there are so many people on the internet, so many groups that are only too willing to help. Use their experience. You know, let them share their experience with you. Listen, learn. But most of all, be proud in what you write. You come across too many people who are very hesitant of putting themselves forward, who think, oh, it's not good enough, I'm not going to do this and stuff like that. You don't know. Yeah, be proud. Be proud. Listen, learn, and be proud of what you write. And then when it's out there, before it's even out there published or whatever, start setting up stuff beforehand. Set up your website. Set up your email. Join various groups that are there. Twitter's got loads of groups. I don't use it a huge amount, but they've got lots of groups. Go to these little blogs. Find some blogs. You know, become a follower of the blogs. See the sort of thing that people write about. Make contact with them. Set up your social network with them. And then when you do get your book there ready, make sure you keep some to send. You're going to have to send off to people. If you want people to sort of do stuff and perhaps deep reviews of them and stuff like that, you're going to have to send some stuff out. But also there are other places where you don't. There's a place like Reader's Spoils, all one word, .com. They do reviews of books and they don't charge hardly anything at all, you know, compared to some of these other places. But they take PDF format. So you don't even have to send a copy of the book to them. You just send a PDF to them. And they do reviews and do the reviews go on Amazon and stuff like that. So there's plenty of things out there for you to pick up on, to learn. And people are only too willing to help you.
That's great. That is definitely very encouraging to hear. So, Barry, it's definitely been such a wonderful pleasure talking with you. I wish we'd have been friends back in grade school because I think you've been a fun guy to hang out with.
That was a long while ago for me.
Different times, different times.
Too right, mate.
Different times. Now, tell me a little bit about your family here. We're getting ready to close here. Now, I hear it's you and your lovely, lovely wife. Are there any children on the side?
Yes, I've got a. A daughter called Victoria, who's 8 this week, coming up on Thursday. And I have a son who's 7. He's the biggest terror I've ever known in my life. Both my wife and I obviously been married before. She has 2 children from her first marriage who are with her ex-husband. And I have a son of 25 who's over in England. He's actually engaged to an American lady who's just got a visa and's going to be moving over to England in the next couple of weeks, and they'll be getting married in the next few months. So all sorts going on at the moment with my family.
Oh, wow, that is exciting. It sounds like just wonderful things going on, great, great family, a lot of wonderful things going on with Across the Pond, and very excited with all your promotion. Wonderful radio show. I've heard.
Well, if anybody wants to know about Across the Pond, they can go to my website, which is across-t-pond.com, and they'll not only read about the book, they'll even meet a couple of the characters there.
Oh, you mean, wow, that is, I'm going to have to check that out, because one of the things I am very, 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 not so great in is like internet technology and stuff like that. So I'm going to have to check that out. Maybe.
Yeah, you can. There's a company that does like cartoon characters, and you can either use your voice as an introduction, or you can type and it's you can choose the accent and stuff like that, or the voice that you want. And so it's great. People go to the site, and there is my hero, Fred Squire, with my voice, because it's English enough, to greet you and tell you a bit about the book.
That is wonderful. I definitely encourage you to, all the listeners out there, to go to www.across-thepond.com.
No, across hyphen, just the letter T,
hyphen
pond. Across hyphen T, hyphen pond.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Use the address Barry told you, not me, because it's his site. But as we're closing here, so many great, wonderful movies to see in the summer. That's when it seems like all the awesome movies are playing, which makes no sense. You think you play them in the winter when the weather is all nasty and let people play outside in the summer. But for some reason, they have all the good movies in the summer. They have a couple good ones at Christmas. But what movie this summer are you most looking forward to seeing?
I can honestly tell you I have not been to the movies since I've been to America.
Really?
My children actually went and saw Nim on Friday with the school, but I not only have a full-time job and the writing and stuff like that, I also run a karaoke show. I also go to karaoke stuff. I also, during the summer, take part in two or three different softball teams, and movies are not
sounds
like
good. Sounds like, Barry, it sounds like your plate is very, very, very full.
Just a little bit, yeah. We tend to have to wait for the videos to come out. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Those are sometimes better and more convenient anyway. Well, anyway, Barry, I'm going to let you go here. I'm going to make sure I hang up the phone. I can honestly say that it has been an absolute inspiration talking to you. I'm definitely excited to look at some of the marketing techniques and strategies you told me. I'm going to check out Rita Spoils here probably tomorrow. I got to go to bed and kind of tired as well. So have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thank you so much for joining me on Before Bedtime here.
It's been a pleasure, Brian. And don't forget, I say, if you want to do the virtual book tour, pumpupyourbookpromotion.com is the best one out there at a fraction of the price of the others. So that's another one for you.
I will definitely look that up. And I'm very, very encouraged what you had to say. So have a wonderful evening and take care. God bless, my brother.
Same to you. Bye.
All right.
Thank you.
This is Brian Sandell signing off from Before Bedtime, bringing you society's best authors, artists, musicians, visionaries, and leaders before you go to bed here on Sunday night. This is Brian Sandell signing off.